Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon. I am Sean Mackney from the Higher Education Academy. What I want to talk to you about today are the paths to student engagement. Very much a watchword of the event today so far, I think. I think we need to look at what we need to look at, what's important, and where are we going with it. Now, we've heard a fair bit today about the way that government policy within England is focused towards a consumer approach, the empowerment of consumers, the provision of information, the way that that will drive change within the higher education system. The time is clearly now for the student, and I think this new approach undoubtedly provides some challenges as well for us. I think it provides a challenge to the power relationship between students and staff and students and their institutions within universities. No longer a teacher-pupil relationship, if ever it was one. I think it provides a challenge to the culture and norms of the institution, what's valued, what's talked about, what's practiced. And I think most fundamentally, it provides a challenge to the very essence of the higher education that the student is there to participate in. And we know that higher education is about not just acquiring skills and knowledge, but about a more holistic experience and one where one changes the way one thinks and engages with the world. It's there in the qualification framework, the development of independent thought. But is there a danger with this consumerism that it may do damage to the very learning that it's supposed to be supporting? We heard this morning very eloquently from Liam Byrne about how the students will be responding to this new challenge. But how should institutions respond? What I want to do over about the next 10 minutes is to set out two paths that institutions might follow, illustrated with some examples of what institutions are doing, who are following these paths, and tell you about the support that's available to make some of these things happen. So two paths to student engagement. The first of these paths is what I would describe as the customer knows best. Now in this we see some engagement with many of the dimensions that we heard about today. Student choice, the key information set, the comparisons website, enabling students who are making choices to use this plethora of information to drive change within the HE sector. We market to those students, we commodify our offer to give clarity about what it is that's available, and we engage students in focus groups and in surveys and where we're doing it well to tell students what we did as a result of their feedback. The second path I would just describe as the partnership path, the partnership with students. In this path, the student takes responsibility for improving the learning that takes place at their institution. It involves them as members of the academic community, again, that we heard some instances of this morning, and adds a challenge and a vibrancy to that academic community that they become members of. So whilst I think there may be some benefits on both of these routes, the former involving and engaging students and responding to their needs does have within it, though, the danger that it provides a much more partial engagement of students, missing some opportunities for learning that we may see there. So where do these two paths lead us? The first path encourages our students to adopt a contractual mindset. We say we don't want to engage our students in this way. Students say to us they don't want to be engaged in this way. But right from the very start of their journey, we do so. And it starts, we see, by defining the inputs that they desire and ends potentially with them defining the degree qualifications and classifications that they require. Cash for results. And in this model, where there's a need for improvement, where do we drive the students? We drive them to a culture of complaint. If we failed on our side of the bargain, there is an incomplete transaction to be recorded. Compensation to be negotiated. We support albeit unwittingly, and encourage a culture of litigation. And you'll see this feature on the kind of higher education landscape now. There are whole conferences dedicated to student complaints. And I would be surprised if the convention that academic judgment cannot be questioned will survive testing in the courts in future. So, following the other path, here again we see some engagement with some of the other features of the higher education landscape in this new era. Student charters. These, in the Students as Partner path, are used to build vision and values, not a contract but a renewal of those values, not terms and conditions but time and space to debate what it is to learn at that institution. And in this model, there's ownership of the enhancement agenda. If something needs fixing, the students are there fixing it with the staff as part of the partnership. And through this process, a vibrant, critical academic community is energised. It's energised by the passion, by the challenging minds, and by the practical action that's brought by new student members of that academic community. It is a sharing of power, not a ceding of it. It's students aligning their investment of time and their ingenuity to the mission of the institution. But why is this important? I represent the HEA. The HEA is the champion for effective learning and teaching in higher education. And for us, student engagement is at the heart of our work. It's central to our practices, central to our thinking, and to our values about why we do what we do. And why is that? Well, we know that students learn better when they're actively engaged, whether engaged in the curriculum, engaged in the co-curriculum, and engaged in the organisation of the university itself. That's what the research literature says. That's what the survey data says. And when I talk to students about what it is that they're looking for from their higher education, it's what the students themselves say about the way they want to be engaged. Okay, so who's following this path? Now, there are many examples from right across the sector. You've heard about some of them earlier today. I could have chosen Lincoln or Warwick or Exeter or John Moores or Worcester, a whole host of others. But I wanted to just pick two examples of that illustrate both the way a whole institution can adopt an approach, but also some of the benefits that might come from working with students as partners. My first example is Birmingham City University and their Students as Partners initiative. Its approach starts with a joint ownership between the university and the students' union. The culture is one of quality enhancement rather than compliance with rules and regulations. They have a practical agenda covering various projects to support research work into areas such as hard-to-reach student groups. The flagship of this initiative is Student Academic Partners, which sees students leading teaching and learning projects in collaboration with academic staff. There's funding for this available from the Students' Union and support from the university's Teaching and Learning Office. It's part of the a university-wide culture change, the way things are done at Birmingham City. It's continuous student engagement in an institution that's committed to continuous improvement of its learning and teaching. Now, the second project that I wanted to highlight is a small research project, action research project, by Jan MacArthur and Mark Huxham at Edinburgh University and Edinburgh Napier University. It's called Share and Control, a Partnership Approach to Curriculum Design and Delivery. And what I want to do is just read for you a quick statement from the conclusions to their study. Their report said, finally, a real delight to this project was to take part in discussions about teaching and learning in which no decision was agreed unless genuine educational arguments for that decision could be articulated. And I think, what a contrast to the students as customer approach. That's not consumer power. That's the power of the Enlightenment. That's the power of rational, critical argument. The ability to change the course of history by our minds and our deeds. It's the essence of the higher education, I think, that equips our graduates as the global leaders and citizens of the future. And so that, for me, is why this agenda is so important, why it's so exciting, but also potentially at risk if we follow the wrong path. So, what support can you get from the Higher Education Academy? We provide a whole range of services that seek to engage students. There are funding for projects working with students as change agents. We support strategic institutional change teams that are partnerships between staff and students. And we've got a body of research and resources about effective engagement. Practically, we've produced a toolkit for effective student engagement jointly with the National Union of Students. And we're extending the student-led teaching awards that have been so successful within Scotland across the United Kingdom, where students are recognising and rewarding the excellence that they see in learning and teaching. This, for us, is all part of a strategic partnership with the National Union of Students, which you heard from Liam this morning, helping to cement at a national level that partnership that you're developing within your institutions, with your students' unions and your students. And I think this is no better exemplified than with the new UK Professional Standards Framework, endorsed for the first time by the National Union of Students and providing the scaffolding to support the continuing professional development of academic staff right through their careers. I think it's a testament to that shared commitment that students and the sector share to teaching excellence and professionalism. So, I put forward a simple argument. We face the challenge of consumerism, and that allows us to take one of two paths. One to the happy meal of the student as customer, or the banquet of learning of the students as partner. There are many examples of the benefits from right across the sector. It's the essence of a quality UK higher education. There are learning benefits, economic benefits, and it provides a shot in the arm for that critical academic culture of any institution. And we at the VHEA are here to help and support in partnership with the NUS. And if you're following this path, or you want to take steps along it, use our resources, apply for our funding. We want to hear from you. Do get in touch. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.